we're back on Real Talk with your boy Robert Purvey. Listen, if y'all can see how Deontay cueing me in, y'all will pass out at your house. And so we're here tonight. Got Dr. Tiff in the studio. Dr. Jeff is doing something. y'all, he came in and he left out. And so we don't know what's happening. You know, he having a moment. And so, but we're waiting on our guests because her directions took her to the other side of downtown. So this is one of them nights. But me and Dr. Tiff, we good. We straight. We in here. And so we're talking about accountability tonight and the importance of it and how everybody should embrace accountability. But before we deep dive into accountability and why you need it, got to talk about what it is. Mm-hmm. What accountability is having a support system, a support group around you that will hold your feet to the fire, that will keep you in tune, keep you intact, keep you from falling off the edge of the cliff. Keep you on track with your goals, with your vision, even with your character. And everybody needs somebody in their life that will hold them accountable, right? And so, like, Tiff, do you have people that hold you accountable?
I definitely have people holding me accountable all the time. I mean, you have to remember, I'm also an elected official. So we are always held accountable for every decision that happens, whether right or wrong, good or bad. They come for us.
Hey, y'all, like, see how she threw that in there? I'm an elected official.
We make those decisions. That?
Come on, elected, you're the youngest elected official in this. So come on, yeah, you got to give all the stats if you're going to go there. But no, it's true. It's true. So do you have people that keep you accountable, that hold you accountable? Have you realized that being one of the younger people, elected officials in that realm, some of the elder statesmen that will pull your coattail or like pour into you, and when they do, how do you receive that?
For sure. So you have to remember, a lot of my mentors in this walk of life were older females, right? Mm-hmm. So you talk about the late Curtis Dean McCowan, mentor. You talk about Dr. Janice Pettis Ingram, mentor. Mayor Pro Tem Denise Valentine, right? So all of those ladies are...
Yeah, so no. Hey, what Dr. Tim is talking about is serious. I say, y'all, Dr. Jeff just walked up in here mid-segment. Like
he came in like he ain't even left. You know?
like what?
I'm better here than not.
Yo, Dr. Jeff literally got in, came in, and said, y'all, excuse me, walked out, then came in like we ain't been on the air for 15 minutes.
Hey, man.
How you doing, man?
I'm excellent.
We got to back up so we can come back. We got to ask you how you doing, because, you know.
We do.
You know, we got to ask you that, because based off your movements, we really don't know how you do it.
I'm doing excellent. I'm in here.
So, Dr. Jeff, we talk about accountability, and with accountability, like the need for it. And so in your field, it's just a lot of funny moments right now. Dr. Jeff coming in, y'all, Kristen walked in. Y'all, Kristen been all over Dallas looking for the station. It's all good. So accountability, like, have you, the power of accountability in your profession, how's it helped you get to where you are?
Define it first. What is accountability?
So accountability, we talked about how people, a support system or a support person that holds your feet to the fire, keeps you in alignment with your vision, with your goals, and won't let you get off track.
Wow. I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I caught a little bit of what Dr. Tim was saying as I was strolling in. It sounded like she was talking about mentorship.
Yeah.
And just having people to really push you, make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do to progress.
Yeah.
And that's so key in life, period. Mm-hmm. More specifically in your scholastics or in your professional drive or what have you. So I think that's huge, man.
Yeah. So y'all, you know, I got the good doctors with me every Saturday. Every Saturday, I got my boy, Dr. Jeff, who's been rocking with me in my life for the last 25 years. And then Dr. Tiff, who decided to be my friend over the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I don't know why she did that. But in the studio.
I don't either.
In the studio with me is somebody fire. I've been knowing. Chris, I've been knowing Kristen, if I've been in maybe almost like 15 years.
Real close.
It's been a long time. And so brought to the studio because, y'all, Kristen is great. She's an author. She's a speaker. She loves God. She loves people and has a very in-depth view on this accountability thing. So I told a couple weeks ago, you got to come into the show and just pour into the listeners, pour into the people on what accountability is. And so we jumping right in.
Let's do it.
Yeah, your GPS wouldn't let you be great.
The GPS wasn't trying to let me be accountable. You know, I had goals that I was trying to reach. You know, this was the destination, and the GPS was trying to lead me astray. Yeah.
Got you. But, and so in life, how have you seen the power of accountability like get you to where you are as a person?
Man, honestly, without it, I wouldn't be where I am.
Yeah.
And that's in every world, every realm. A lot of times, because, you know, people know us as believers, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, you believe. And they think of accountability and put you in this box of accountability only being to God and only mm-hmm. to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. But accountability is to your personal goals. Mm-hmm. What are your career goals? What are, you know, so all your whole person, your whole you, what, everything that makes you who you are, you have to be accountable to whatever you set as your goals, your standards. And I think that that's vital. So the moment I said I wanted to be a successful whatever, fill in the blank, mm-hmm. You start girding your guarding yourself and putting people around you that are like, oh, okay, that's what you want to do, you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, you know that means you got to do this.
Yeah.
Or you know that means you got to do that. And then when you're not doing that, like, oh, you said you was trying to get back in the gym. Yeah, but my knee hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But my knee hurt.
Yeah, that was so
right.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah. And also, and I mean, cause me
you,
too.
Did you know?
No.
Were you aware?
I didn't.
Was that inside just, or? That,
no, because my knee. You see, I'm rubbing my knee.
Oh, I thought it was. We was going there. I was excited because I haven't seen you last week, so I didn't get my chance to really.
So
go in
jokes.
Person.
So you got jokes tonight?
You always got jokes.
You came in late tonight. We talking about accountability.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me say this really quickly. So the building here is, we're on the 17th floor. In buildings of this magnitude, they have a security guard.
Yeah.
He's supposed to let people in.
Yeah.
He was not on his job. I've been standing outside.
Otis wasn't downstairs.
It's 100 degrees outside. I've been standing outside for quite some time trying to get my way in. I don't have a key fob.
You
should
have called us sooner. I would have hobbled down there.
You wouldn't come.
I was going to hobble down there.
I know you would.
She would have made it by the third break. Speaking of breaks, we're going to go into this break. And the current time is 7:19. And, yo, we're locked into the real talk here on The Uplift. And we're on here 24 hours a day. The Uplift plays gospel music 24 hours a day. So check us out on upliftlive.com. When we come back from this break, we're going to deep dive into this conversation about accountability, because I want to know why people are afraid of the truth. And since we have a little extra estrogen in the room, I'm going to be real petty. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about accountability.
Don't worry.
We're right here on Real Talk with your boy Pervy, the good doctors, and Kristen O'Neill. Be right back.
So let me testify. I was born in Haiti. My daddy was a minister. He believed in having churches in the hood, you know what I mean? He brought us to Newark, New Jersey after Brooklyn, 1108 South Orange Avenue. Let me take you back to what gospel, Caribbean vibes felt like in that church.
Hello, God. Hello. Hello, God.
Each time I run from pain, when that's the truth. You know I feel like
we're back on Real Talk with your boy Robert Purvey here in the studio, Uplift Live, with my boy Dr. Jeff, my girl Dr. Tiff, and got my friend in the studio tonight, Kristen O'Neill. She's here, author, speaker, motivational speaker, but she also has a brand, Grace Galore. Tell us, what is Grace Galore?
Grace Galore is a lifestyle apparel brand, right? So it's we all need grace. I got one of my favorite shirts. It literally says, "Got grace, give grace." That's literally the lifestyle stamp. Like, we all find ourselves in a position where we need grace, not just the overwhelming and overpowering grace of God, but we need to lend each other grace. Give yourself grace. In these times, like, we find ourselves, and especially with this topic of accountability, there are times where you might fall or you might fail or you might miss your mark, and this is what I was trying to do and I didn't. Give yourself some grace. There's grace for that thing too. Whatever your that is, there's grace for it. So
it's great. It's grace for it. I like that. Yeah. Grace
that is fresh.
It is. I need a whole lot of grace.
Because sometimes I always say, hey, man, give that person a grace period.
Yep.
Let them get acclimated to whatever it is they're trying to do. Because if you rush it and you don't have a good first experience, a lot of people don't even continue. Yep. It's through. It's done. It's over with. Yep. And you on to the next thing. So I love that. That's cool.
So, I mean, it's dope because grace is a part of accountability too, right?
Absolutely.
And, like, it's just how you – I think – you shouldn't just have accountability. You should also be accountable.
That's right.
Right? Hmm. That if you're not able to hold someone else accountable, I think there's some growth that needs to be done in your life too. You know, I mean, and it's just the story. When I think of accountability, I always think of the Bible story of Naaman and how Naaman was going to get a healing, right? And he didn't get the answer, or it didn't come the way he wanted it. On his way back, Naaman is going back home with the same thing that he came with that he didn't get healed from. And somebody on the chariot, one of the soldiers says, if he checks him and says, if the prophet would have told you to do something else, would you have done it? Pretty much just checking his mindset that, hey, you came here for something. You were believing God for something. And all you had to do was follow the instructions. And sometimes we need people like that to check us and tell us the truth. But a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth. People don't hear the truth. And so I like for all, y'all are very intelligent black people. And I want to hear from y'all on why people are afraid to hear the truth. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm gonna be petty in this segment, but I'm letting y'all get it out first. Like why people don't want to hear the truth is especially sisters, but it's okay.
I think it's men because y'all aren't mature.
Okay.
You can't listen.
You can't just throw it out. You got to explain. You can't just throw it out there.
Damn.
I mean, you started.
Sorry.
You just went for it. Huh?
It was a reactionary thing. I mean, you just came right on out and said, "Repeat that for me. Make sure I understood."
You guys just are mature all the time, so you can't have true accountability conversations because it messes with your ego.
So men, it's hard for men to accept accountability conversations. So how does accountability look? How does accountability look to men from women? Give me a woman's perspective on how accountability looks for men.
Doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, and I think I think that part makes it extremely difficult because we know that we're dealing with the male pride and the male ego. Not that females don't have it, because I have an ego too. I have pride too, because we're human,
I like,
right?
I like the way you clean that up. Thank you.
But the male ego is a thing. Like there is a term called the male ego. You see what I'm saying?
He did it.
It's cool. Yeah. It's fine. With that part of the male ego, it's the need or the desire to like be right, do mm-hmm. right, nail it, get it right the first time. All of those things come into play, and so the fear of failure, I think, is one of the larger pieces of why we see that lack of the accountability and the receiving the truth part of it, like. A huge part to this of like why people don't want to hear the truth, why you don't want to, is a lot of times people have heard truth without love. So your ability to receive, and we're talking about accountability, right? So I can't trust that you're get like what you've given me as truth, because the last time I heard that, somebody told me that and it wasn't wrapped in love. Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't want to hear that. Like, I heard somebody say that to me before, but she said it in a mean, snappy kind of way, and she was nagging at me. It's like, okay, yeah, she didn't say it right, but dog, you still need to make sure you pay your bills on time, and that's just truth. You know, it's just truth. I know she said it wrong. I know he said it wrong, but at the end of the day, it's still truth. It's still right.
It's the validity that goes with it, right?
Absolutely.
And the validation that the men are seeking sometimes to make sure that their point is right, whether it's holding them accountable or lack of accountability. Last week, we talked about how to succeed, right, and how to achieve goals. But again, we talked about setting those expectations. And if a man isn't willing to be held accountable through those expectations, then he's going to drop the ball every time. And guys, women, we're okay with failing. Like, more times out of 10, we understand we're going to fail a couple of times.
It's a part of the process. We understand process. I think that we understand the process better.
I think maybe you two do. I don't know if that's a generalized statement. I don't think you could just say all women do that, because that's not
all. Nobody. We didn't say all. I didn't say all.
Oh, well, you said women.
Generally speaking.
Kirby started, though, saying he was going to be petty with the women tonight. So, yeah. Holistically.
So blame him.
Here you go, bro.
Start
and miss.
I'm an antagonist. But here it is. It's like, so I think what we're saying is that when it comes to accountability, we all lack it from a young age. Like, I think that because as adults, we're all adults. And I think that when it comes to adults not really embracing accountability, especially in this conversation with men, I think it's coming from the male perspective. We didn't get accountability as young boys.
You know
what I mean? I think it's just the environment we grew up in. So Jeff and I grew up in an environment where we had strong black men that undergirded us and poured into us. But what we're seeing as adults, a lot of our brothers didn't have that. Mm-hmm. A lot of our brothers didn't have black men actually holding them to the fire and saying, hey, no, you don't talk to a woman this way. This is how you treat her. You know, you don't handle situations like that. This is how you handle it. So we had older black men that, even if they had issues of their own, they made sure they poured into us. Like, I had a cousin who would always say, I mean, he was slinging drugs. He was doing the most, but he would tell me to do what was right. He like, cuz, this ain't the life for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think we have a generation of men, and Jeff, I don't know if you agree or not, but a generation of men who just weren't held accountable as boys.
I agree with you, and I think there's this how do I put this, in our community, is do what I say, not what I do type stuff. And so it's really challenging as a young black man to watch other people do stuff and then be told that's not how you do stuff. And so you see it, but then you're supposed to recreate something completely different in your life. And that's a little counterintuitive, you know what I mean? So I can agree. There's definitely some upbringing challenges that we need to rectify as generations continue, sure.
Absolutely. So as we look at women in our culture, one perspective could seem as if that women seem like they're on an island by themselves too. That there are not a lot of women holding each other accountable, that there's this competition that happens. And there's this competing for attention, this competing for validation that happens. And like, a lot of sisters aren't holding other sisters accountable. And so that's a perspective from a male. Is that what you see in the female culture?
I mean, not in my world. You know what I mean? I get a lot of times in this setting, you end up like feeling like the unicorn. It's like, this is not abnormal. Like, this is my norm is this. But I know that that's a thing.
Yep.
My perspective is always like, yo, but there are a lot of women out here who are like, I'm rooting for the black girl. I'm rooting for you to win. I want to see what you doing. What's your thing? Right. What do you want to do? Let me see if I know anybody.
Can I help you? Like, literally, it's that, literally, that climb and pull that I've seen amongst black women.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Well, let me say, we do have that competition side, but those are usually for the females or the women who don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're still trying to find themselves. When you surround yourself with people who are like-minded and you talk about accountability amongst a circle, you don't have that drama and that beef and that competition going on. Mm-hmm. So maybe we are unicorns, because that's not what we do. Yeah.
So being around and just going further in this conversation, I want to ask this to all three of y'all. I want us to jump in and answer this question on we're all in different circles, medical, educational, spiritual, and we see these type of people. We see the type of people who are afraid of embracing the truth about themselves. So it's hard for people who would want to hold them accountable to hold them accountable because people don't want to hear the truth anymore. People would rather hear a lie about themselves than hear the truth and embrace that. So I think we're falling into a situation or a culture where people are just shutting their mouths and not even wanting to hold anybody accountable because people don't hear the truth. In y'all's opinion, like what stops somebody from embracing the truth?
Because it's weighty. It comes with responsibility. Mm. It comes with responsibility.
Yeah.
Accountability is ultimately synonymous with the word responsibility, right? There's a weight that comes along with it. So if I tell you the truth about something and you're not ready to take on that responsibility, because now it's like, okay, I gave you the truth. You are now responsible for doing something with mm-hmm. that truth. You know, it's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? Wisdom is knowledge applied. The same thing is it is with the truth. It's like, okay, now that I have this truth about myself, somebody told me this. It came from a trusted source. It's somebody I believe has my best interest at heart. Now I'm responsible for doing something with this truth. I ain't ready.
All the way. I can't.
Hey, dog, you gotta quit going over to these people's houses over in the middle of the night. I hear you. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to give that. There's a weight and a responsibility that I now have to take on. I ain't ready for that. So that's why I don't want to hear the truth. Like, don't tell me that.
And then you have to look and see how many other people are not supporting that thing. So you could be that one person that's trying to hold them accountable, teach them responsibility. Mm-hmm. But if there's so many
enablers,
enablers,
right,
who are keeping these people down, they're going to continue to go with the enablers mm-hmm. because that's what makes them comfortable. Right. So when you talk about accountability and responsibility, you have to get ready to become uncomfortable.
That's big facts. Big facts. I was just going to say the truth hurts, period. You know, and if you have, we're prideful, right? Egotistical people in general, men, women, I'm just going to say blanket, yes, as human beings, mm-hmm. when you have presented yourself as an adult and you doing whatever you're doing, you've arrived, right, in your head, right? Yep. So when somebody pulls your coattail and says, you could do this better, or you could do that better, it's like, who is
I'm
you?
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Help me understand why, you know, right, where is this info coming from?
Right.
And so it takes a little bit of processing, takes a little bit of adjustment, and that's challenging for people. I mean, change is challenging.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I would say, I mean, people just don't want to hear it. They would rather arrive at it on their own.
So the challenge of the change, the weight and responsibility of it, and the enabler, like so all of that. I think if you're listening tonight, I think you got to really take into consideration if you fall into the category where you have more enablers in your life than truth tellers. If you run from the weight of the truth, and if change and the challenge of change causes you to run away, like I don't mean this in a playful way, like seek therapy. Like I think you just seek therapy anyway. I tell people all the time, Jesus and therapy literally saved my life. But I'm just saying, like, I think that you have to understand, if nobody can tell you anything, if it's hard for people to walk alongside you because you're the type of person that can't receive truth about yourself, you need to seek therapy and seek help so you can see why you're that way. Because you will never get to the point of success in any field that you can get to if nobody can pour into you.
But you also have to understand with going to therapy, you have to be willing to actually do the work of the therapist too.
Yeah,
it's easy to say, hey, I'm going to therapy, but if you don't apply what you're learning, then it's literally wasted time. So yes, while we're telling people now go to therapy, is it really beneficial to go to therapy though if they're gonna waste time?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that should be something somebody listens to. Like you have to be prepared to do the work. And here it is. If this is the honest truth, you will stay stuck in the situation you're in if you never get to the point where you feel like you need to do better.
Run that back. That's the best thing you done said all day.
You will continuously stay where you are in the situation that you're in if you never get to the point where somebody can tell you the truth or come alongside you and pour into you. If where you are now is your capacity, you will never get to where God wants you to be or be the person who you're called to be because nobody can pour into you. Like, listen, there will be some people that try to hurt you. Right. But there are more people trying to help you than they are. Because, and if you're prideful and if you have a cap on your life, you will miss, you will mistake harm. You will mistake help for harm. Yeah. Right?
A lot, you will. Yeah. No, like, I think, again, and coupled with therapy and just having these type of dialogue so that we can hear in everyday and general conversations, like, yo, everybody ain't out to get you.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't wake up every morning tweeting and Instagramming about my haters. Like,
right.
I got haters? Like, right, I mean, right. Realistically speaking, I'm sure that I do. I couldn't name you one. Maybe I could. That's not, that's neither, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. That's neither here nor there. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reality is we have to have these type of open dialogues that, like, yo, I promise you, there are more people that are for you mm-hmm. than there are against you.
For sure.
Like, in real life.
In
I know
life.
What society has shown us.
Yep.
I know we end up in this, like, picture perfect clout chasing society and what yep. social media has shown us. But I promise you, there are more people who are rooting for you and want yep. you to win and believe in whatever that thing is inside of you, probably more than you do. Mm-hmm. Then there are people who like, nah, he dumb, she stupid, she ugly, she ain't gonna never be like, what?
And most of the time, those people are people who are jealous of you anyway.
That part.
And
regardless
so
regardless of what you do,
like, you know, they're gonna be there.
Man,
you know what I mean?
And still gonna be like, man, he yeah. could have picked up some more garbage than that. That don't make no sense.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
But you have to remember, those haters are always watching. So you have to continue to do you yeah. because they're trying to figure out how to come up off of something you've done.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you still gonna get your views still gonna be up even if it's haters watching. My views still up. Thank you.
Because here it is. Y'all know how it is. I bet you if you looked at the analytics of your social media pages, there are more people that look at your or that cause traffic by looking at what you post than people that like it. So if you only validate yourself by people who give you the thumbs up, you're missing it. There are some people who are just watching you.
They just needed sure. to see you.
Just that's watching it. You, right? And so be present. Be present. Be who God is calling you to be. Be the great person that you are. Allow people to pour into you so you can be better. But please, ma'am, please, sir, like, for your future, please don't stop because somebody's trying to make you better and you're misinterpreting it as somebody trying to harm you. They don't even know you like that.
I got a real life example.
When we come back, when we come back from this break, I want you to start off with that example. Right. God, I promise you, is going to go into our next segment about embracing growth as a person, right?
Indeed.
So let's stay connected. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Uplifted Now. And yo, when we come back, we're going to jump back into this conversation. I know y'all loving it because I'm loving it too. So keep it locked right here on Real Talk, right here on Uplift.
Brother Travis would like to say something this Sunday. Let's give him a hand as he comes.
Thank you.
If I can have your attention, don't mean to waste your time. I like to tell a little story. How I was lost and couldn't find my way.
Tell your story.
But then I met Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And something started to change. I ain't proud of the past. I'm proud of the fact that I'm not who I was now.
I am different. I'm
thank Travis and John for stopping by the service this evening. We'll be serving plate dinners in the back. Come and get you some red Kool-Aid, because you know you've been changed. Hallelujah. Come on. See, sis, it feels real good right now. And I want to talk to you a little bit more. I'm not finished with you. Talk to me. Let's go. I used to fall asleep in Sunday school. Sang in the choir so I could sit right next to you. Yeah, puppy love, and I say I forget your name. Cause after time, memories, they fade away. But still the day I can never let it go. That Sunday morning when I met the Holy Ghost. Oh, my mama, church boy, now I'll never be the same. Jesus paid it all and told me I could keep the change. Pull up. My God. Something's got a hold on.
Back on Real Talk with your boy Robert Purvey, having a great conversation. We're gonna jump right back into it, talking about accountability. We left off the last segment with Dr. Jeff about to give us a little insight on how he embraced accountability. Go for it, my brother.
Yes, sir. I think it's important to share a little bit of life that has influenced me. I'm a FAMU graduate. Shout out to the HBCU. I was graduating. Didn't have the best application, didn't have the best GPA, didn't have the best MCAT score. So what I decided to do was to get a master's degree, do some research, figure out how I could make myself a better applicant. And so I'm along my journey, you know, ultimate goal is to go to medical school, right? And so I'm doing all of my research and stuff. I finished my classes. I'm preparing to write this thesis, and I got all of this research in my head and all these things I want to accomplish, but I have to make the bench research match what I propose in my hypothesis, right? And so my PI is this young Kenyan brother, really intelligent PhD, you know what I mean? And we're bickering, we're fighting, because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to graduate. I didn't put in my 2.5 years. It's time to write my thesis. I'm trying to roll. I got a life plan, bro. You in the way of my life plan. And it was just a really powerful life lesson about accountability, because he said, hey, Jeff, publish something that's really going to make a difference. Don't just halfway do your stuff. And every time I presented something to him, he critiqued it really hard. And so I had to go back and make these micro changes time and time and time again. And I think that's such a valuable lesson that I have really like embraced as a person, not just as a clinician, but as a person. If you want to see change, if you want to see growth, you got to start making these small changes leading towards the ultimate goal, yeah. You know? And so that was a really powerful lesson and something that helped me definitely when I got to medical school and things was real rough. So I had those, that confidence and that accountability that I put in myself to say, hey, nah, bro, yeah, it's 1:30, but you got more stuff to do.
Yeah,
I can't go to bed. So
that's part of that embracing growth.
Indeed.
And I mean, and that's such a huge part of accountability, that when you realize what somebody is pouring into me isn't just helping me for the moment, it's helping me grow.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, Kristen, you came in kind of late, you know, so I ain't going to hold it against you.
Oops.
You know, it's all good. You know.
15 years of friendship. You see?
That's what it gets you. She made it. She's good. I was right on time.
But I really want you to help our listeners understand, like, what embracing growth looks like, especially because it's a gospel radio station, and we on Real Talk, we keep the conversation general to embrace every audience member. But I really like, what does embracing growth look like when it comes to somebody's walk with the Lord and as they are in a professional and personal setting? Like, what does that embracing growth look like?
Sure. I'm gonna start with this quote. Winston Churchill says that the price of greatness is responsibility.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you are who you are today because somebody put a demand on your greatness.
Uh-huh.
Your PI was like, nah, you can't just be... The standard is not here. Uh-uh. You know what I mean? Like, uh-uh. So the price of greatness is responsibility. So those late nights when you wanted to just go to sleep, I want to be great. I know that there's more in me. And so there's a responsibility that comes along with that. In embracing growth, it's the incremental changes. Like you said, it's the micro changes. It's celebrating yourself. It's saying like, yo, when I first started this journey, I was a hot a whole hot mess. You know what I mean? I was a whole hot mess. And, you know, I don't do all the things that I used to do. And it's okay to stop and applaud yourself for the things that you used to don't do, but you don't do them now. You do it. You do it. You think about doing it, but you don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's okay to do that. A lot of times, I give this example a lot in walking with the Lord and trying to be pure and walking in purity and all of that fun stuff. Because holiness is still right or something they be saying. There was a point in time where in my walk with the Lord, I was literally only doing it because I knew that that's what the scripture told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was growth because I was doing it.
Right.
I ain't want to.
Right.
But I was doing it because that's what scripture said.
Right.
And then another season, I walked 5 or 6 years later. I'm like, all right. I can do this. My desires or my reasonings behind doing it completely changed. It morphed from just being about this is what God wants to, it became what I want.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just what your PI wanted for you.
Uh-huh.
It turned on like, no, this is what I want for me. So you might have a boss or a senior leadership in your organization that's like, man, why are you always picking at me? Why are you, like, every time you like, yo, you need to go take this project. You need to go do this. And it's like, all right, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to do it. I realize now that the more you start putting a demand on something else in me that I might not even see, it's a demand on my greatness. And I know that that comes with a responsibility. Is it always fun to walk according to the responsibility that you've been given? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Watch but this real
you just
quick.
Went somewhere with that.
I want you to finish, so don't forget where you were.
I got you.
All right. But it was so crazy just listening to what you said, because I had a whole moment. I went back. Because for a while, I was doing it because I wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I said, this is so much bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this for my mama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this for my community.
Yep.
I'm doing this because I'm not gonna let these folks beat me.
Right. Right.
Then that's when it was like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. I can't stop. I'm going.
Right.
So that was just, I mean, it's the same thing, but two different avenues.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to give it back, because I want you to finish. You was going somewhere.
That's exactly it. Is that there's a moment in your journey, because we're talking about growth and embracing the growth, and that it does not always feel good. It does not always look pretty. It does not mean you get it right all the time.
Mm-mm.
You were walking in incrementally in your growth, and you submitted something. And he was still like, nah, fam, this ain't it.
This ain't good enough, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm giving it all that I have. And so embracing growth, what does that look like? It literally is applauding yourself along the way, but also continuing to pull greatness out of yourself.
Absolutely.
It's a demand on yourself.
I need you to say that one more time. Winston Churchill said what?
Winston Churchill says that the price of greatness is responsibility.
I love that.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah.
I love that. The price of greatness is responsibility.
Absolutely.
And it would suggest that if you want to be great,
It's
going to cost you, and you have to personally be responsible.
Absolutely.
Like, I think a lot of times that we put the weight of responsibility for our greatness on other people.
Sure.
Right? And we when we expect to be great, with no work, with no weight,
just show up.
just show up, and it's supposed to happen.
You good,
right? And so for everybody listening tonight, I hope you heard that accountability pushes you, right? And embracing everything that accountability comes with pushes something out of you. Yo, I'll tell you this: the late Dr. Carrie D. Wesley told me something when I was maybe in my third year youth pastor at Antioch Fellowship, and he said, "You are going to be great one day when you get out of your own way."
That's it. That's literally the reality is that responsibility is not the responsibility because you got the title now, you got the thing now, whatever the thing, it's not because you hold it now. You have to be responsible to your later now.
Yeah.
Your responsibility to your future, to your later, and even to get there is all about how responsible you are with what you're doing with yourself.
Absolutely.
And how you treat people now. All of that is accountability. All of that is responsibility.
Absolutely. I remember one time Dr. Wesley, he said, "So I never told you how good you were, because I never wanted you to settle. Never tell you how good you were, because I never wanted you to settle. Because if I told you how good you were, you would have settled for good and you would never become great."
message.
You know what that's true, though.
And you know what I mean? And that's somebody who says, hey, I see something in you don't see in yourself. And I'm going to keep pushing you to be better. And I think that's the undertone of tonight when it comes to accountability. And I think we keep saying it because somebody needs to hear it, that you're being pushed because somebody sees something in you that you can see in yourself, but you're scared to go get it.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
I need to send my seed off.
Yeah. A lot of times we say people see something in us we don't see in ourselves. Right. Now, I think a lot of times people see in us what we see too. We just scared to go get it.
Yep.
And we need people.
It's that fear of failing.
Absolutely. You know what you talked about earlier, men egos. Well, we, you know when you came for us.
Yeah.
but it's real talk though. It's like we're scared to fail. We don't want to go after it. But there's people that will come alongside in your life and say no, like
that are
you got what it takes.
More wise than you.
Yeah.
And they see something in you that you can't quite see all the way.
Yep.
And so because of their age, because of their experience, because of the things that they've been through, they can say, look, I'm going to drop this nugget on you.
Yep.
I'm going to plant this seed and I'm going to watch it grow.
Yep.
Now, granted, it's still your responsibility to water it, to nurture it, to fertilize and all that good stuff. But look, that's so powerful, man, that Dr. Wesley said that to you because it stuck.
Definitely.
And here you are.
Right.
Yeah, because
on the other side.
Yeah, because, bro, I had got to the point to where I was trying to measure my success and my greatness in comparison to somebody else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Out here, the church world ain't no different from culture in a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
everybody trying to come up. Everybody trying to do what somebody else doing. Everybody trying to climb. Everybody trying to pull somebody down. All that stuff. It's another episode for another day. But
call me back for that.
Right. But what I realize is, like, I tell teens and I tell adults all the time that comparison is the greatest enemy to destiny, right? And I say it because that was me. I was comparing how I preached, comparing how I talked, comparing what I did and the size of my ministry and all this. And I found myself comparing and competing with people who weren't even on my level. You know what I'm saying? And so here's what I realized. I realized that the people who I was comparing and competing myself against weren't on my level, but I continuously put myself on theirs because I didn't raise my standard.
Watch
my standard
this.
Was always the level of where they were, not where I could be.
Exactly.
As a person.
Yeah.
And when I raised my level as a person, everything else came behind it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so I was boxing myself into being a pastor and boxing my success in the ministry when the Lord was like, no, like, I want to take you higher as a person. And when I went higher as a person, everything else came up with me.
So since we're talking about my PI, I'm going to give him a shout out. Dr. Barack Obanyo. He's from Kenya. All right. I was in the lab. I had just unsuccessfully passed my MCAT again. I was tearful. I was upset. He came in. He was like, Jeff, what's going on? So I told him the whole scenario. He knew how bad I wanted to go, right? He knew what I needed to do in order to get in. He says, calm down. We have a proverb in our tribe, in our country, and it says there's a reason why all of your fingers are different lengths, because you can't compare one to the other.
Wow.
Man, that changed my life.
Wow.
Cause I stopped worrying about what my friends did. I stopped worrying about all these other people, how they scored, what they did. Cause my ego was in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I know I'm smarter than this. Why didn't my test score represent how hard I worked, what I know, how intelligent I am? So after that, I had a different voration for studying and getting things done because I can't compare myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was real powerful, man. That was dope. And so he was able to plant that seed and water it a little bit just to kind of get me over the hump. And then that's when I actually got deeper into my own research.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it wasn't my time.
Right.
And I know that this is coming. I know that I've earned this. I already see where I'm going. The steps are ordered.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to run them faster than I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, everything just came together.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Y'all, we about to get out of here. But before we do, I know I can put it on the spot. Kristen, like in 45 seconds, encourage a listener tonight to keep going.
Oh, grace.
man, that's it. You got it. Here's the reality. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever is directly in front of you, I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if you lost a boo. I don't care if you're trying to figure out what job is going to happen. I need this. I need that. I need you to stop right now. Look in the mirror. Pull your phone out. If you're not near a mirror, grab your cell phone and put that thing on selfie mode right now and say, you cannot quit. Somebody somewhere is depending on you, your testimony, you not giving up so that they can keep going. So you got to keep going so that we can keep going. I believe in you. If you've never heard anybody say that, hear me say that. I believe you. I believe in you. I believe there's greatness in you and you cannot give up. Keep going.
I love it. Y'all, it's the Good Doctors and your boy Pervy. Big ups, big love to my girl Kristen O'Neill for coming through. You got to come back.
I'm coming back.
You got to come back.
Just call me.
And so we're going to make it happen. Deontay Uplift, thank y'all so much.
You know where the station is now.
You ought to get here now. You're good.
I'll be real early.
But it's y'all, it's us on Real Talk. We'll be back next Saturday, same time. Set your reminders back at 7 p.m. next Saturday right here on Uplift. Have a great week. And until next week, love you. Peace.
Peace.
Your source for your favorite gospel music. It's all right here on The Uplift.
Right here on The Uplift.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you.
Just breathe.